Well, good morning. We're glad that you're here. This has to go on the internet, so it's got to sound like we've been together. But we've been talking for quite a while. I wanted to share with you something this morning, which I find very unusual. And that is, I have heard one illustration. I'm talking from back when I was a teenager until just a couple of years ago. I heard the same illustration. And I can't get it out of my head. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put it in your head. Because you've heard something like this before. And it goes like this. Do you know that the sum and substance of your life is made up of many layers like an onion? Raise your hand if you've heard something like this. Okay, some of us have. All right, so let me do it, all right? Let me do it for you. And you know, like an onion that's got different layers? You've got all kinds of different layers. Until you peel them all away and you get to the very nugget of the core of who you are. And at that core, you need, as a follower of Christ, to be a thankful person. Everybody sits and they take an illustration and they listen to it and go, that sounds good to me. Unfortunately, it's wrong. It's wrong from the get-go. And nobody has the guts to say it's wrong. And if we were in more of a conversational setup, you would look at me and say, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. You know why? Because here's my layers. Now, I thought I'd let you help me do this, but I just don't know where it would go. But let's take a shot at this anyway, okay? Mike has got many layers. Let me start off and help you with the layers that are Mike. Do you know that Mike is a man? Hold it. Who said think so? Okay. Mike is a man. You know that, right? A man in today's world, right? Just affirm me, make me feel good, all right? So here we go. I'm not done. Do you know that Mike is a husband? It's another layer. Okay, we agreed with that one, all right. Do you know that Mike is a father? Okay, we're getting this. This is good, okay? These are layers that we're doing. I'm going to ask you to help me in just a minute with other ones you might come up with. Do you know that Mike is a grandfather? Do you know that? Okay, do you know that Mike... Oh, so do you know Mike's an aunt and an uncle? Do you know that? Okay, do you know that Mike's an uncle? Okay, good, so we're doing good, right? Do you know that Mike's a brother? Okay, what other layers does Mike have? Who's... Maria, did you really? That's because you're sitting next to Glenn. It rubs off on you. Okay? Okay. Mike likes to laugh. It's his way of getting through life. All right? You want to get a tear in your eye? It's his way of dealing with the hard parts of life. Nobody got a tear. Okay. Let's keep going. Also, what is another layer of Mike? Pastor. You forgot about that. Okay? What else? I am a son. A New Jersey Irish American. Okay. We're going to stop right there because I think that was degrading. But you get the idea. Every single thing. You know, I'm a friend to a lot of people too. Do you know I also play some athletics? How about that? This is great. Do you know I'm an auto mechanic? No. Okay, that's a lie, but I always wanted to have that on tape. I'm not. All right. So here we go. Mike's got all, just like you, all these facets of their lives that I do, the things you see, the things they don't see. Do you know Mike loves dogs?
Okay.
Do you know that I am a world-famous grower of tomatoes? Anybody? Okay, good. You're getting the idea. Right. So, I do. So, here we are. Mike's got all these layers. Here's the illustration. All the layers, like an onion that Michael has, every single one of them, just like you, have to be permeated with Thanksgiving. Listen, when Mike the dad goes out and visits with his kids, Mike the dad needs to be a thankful person. Mike the pastor needs to be a thankful person. Mike the Irish East Coast speaking guy from New York, New Jersey, needs to be a thankful person. And that's a hard thing to do, okay? But Mike needs to, every single layer, to when you get to the core, that believing element in Jesus Christ, it has affected every layer of what Mike is. Do you understand that? Do you get it? Okay, if you do, it's going to help a lot this morning, because this morning we talk about being layered with thankfulness. So I'm going to ask you to do right now is to bow your head, listen to the scripture, Psalm 100, listen carefully. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. Father, we thank you for this psalm because it talks about us. It talks about how we need to be layered with thanksgiving. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would accept our praise. And, Father, more than that, I pray that when we leave here this morning, we would be people who praise you and known just like that. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. There are some things in here. You've got your note sheet. Everybody has a note sheet. There are some things in here you need to see. Some things in here you need to highlight about God. They're in your notes. And it's called the foundation of our thankfulness. And just warning you, in just a couple minutes, going to ask you to share with us some, just about a minute or so, if you want to share, up to a minute, something that we're talking about. And here it comes for you, okay? Notice on your notes, these qualities of God, I think, that are listed here, especially in verse 5, are qualities of basically almost like a love relationship. Look at verse 5, if you could, for a moment. You'll notice what it says, "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." I want you to notice, first of all here, that we notice God's goodness. God is good. It sounds so simple, but it's an incredible truth. His whole character can be summarized as good. You never say this, by the way, "God is bad." You never say that. God is good. It's fundamental to his character. Simply stated, it goes like this. God embodies total goodness. The thing you could never say about yourself. He is good all the time. God is good all the time, meaning there's a total absence of bad. I thought it'd be kind of meaningful this morning that out of this group this morning, while the Lord is watching this group, it'd be neat this morning if the Lord heard one thing from this group, and that is this, that God is good all the time. Can you say that with me? God is good all the time. Let's do it again. God is good all the time. Stop. Hold it. I've had a bad week. Friday morning, I carried a guy out of his house. 134-pound guy out of his house. Not like this, over my shoulder. Got him in my car and got him to the emergency room at Trinity Hospital. This is true. This is not an illustration. While I was doing it, I thought, man, this is the dumbest thing you've done in a long time. But come to find out later in the day, it saved his life. Carry this guy out to the car, get him in the car, get him to the hospital, get him to ER, and then let them take over and do what they do. This is a bad situation because this guy's going to die. He's probably going to die relatively soon, within the next few weeks. That can't possibly be good. Can I actually say what I just said, that God is good all the time in that situation? Yeah, I can. That's the unique thing about us. Let's say it again. God is good all the time. But hold on, you don't understand. My marriage is not doing as well as it used to. Oh, you don't understand. My dog just took ill and it might be the end of his life. You don't understand. One of my kids is not talking to me anymore. You don't understand. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. You don't understand that my car is broken again for the second time this week. You don't understand what I don't feel well. What's the truth underneath all of this? God is good all the time. One more time, let's say it. God is good all of the time. So what I've done is I've set up Tyler. There's two times coming up here real shortly for us to share with each other. Mike is speaking this morning, and you get a chance to do it as well. And I'm going to have Tyler come around. If you would like to share with us, maybe up to a minute, so that lots of folks can share. If you'd like to share with us how God has been good in your life, in a good time or a bad time, how God has been good in your life, would you just make a motion at me or at Tyler, and we'll get the microphone in front of your mouth, and you can share how God has been good all of the time, even though something's been very tough that you're dealing with, or something's been really incredible that you're dealing with. Go ahead. It's up to you. Do you want to share? Here's a chance to start Thanksgiving service. To say, come on over here, Tyler. You don't have to get up out of your seat. Tyler will do the moving.
You all know that we lost a baby this summer. Our daughter Megan was pregnant, and the baby had a very severe genetic disorder, and we didn't know how long Megan would even carry the baby. She was born at 21 weeks along, and as hard as that was, what I really learned was that God is so faithful to walk beside us through that valley. We talk about from the Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we were. And to see how many people prayed for us, and I'm just thankful that God does walk through the valleys with us.
That's rich. Thank you. Anybody else want to share about God's goodness in light of the situation in your life, or how you'd like to do that this morning? Go ahead, Florence.
I think everyone knows by now that I had a stroke about a month ago, and it was starting at midnight, and Ed was awake, which he never is at midnight, so that was the first blessing. And then he got me to the hospital within the three-hour window where they could administer the TPA, which dissolved the clot, and here I am, a walking miracle. I'm so thankful.
Anybody else want to share? There'll be another section you can share in just a couple of minutes. Way back there, Tyler, to Bob, if you would do that. Thank you.
Nearly 20 years ago, after a diagnosis with prostate cancer, I got involved with Moffitt Cancer Center. And Moffitt became not just my hospital that I went to for cancer treatment, but my career. I started working there. Moffitt was a big part of my vision for how I served God. In January of this year, I was let go by Moffitt. The HR department was very nice about the way in which they let me go, but I was no longer a Moffitt employee. So I had to set aside the illusion of having a steady, dependable paycheck that I could really count on and seek work elsewhere. I'm working now, getting paid more than I was, and I'm seeing the need to trust God more for each paycheck. And that's a good place to be.
Very good. Amen. Go deep. Look back at your scripture, if you would, for me. You notice here in verse 5, it says, "The Lord is good." We just talked about His goodness. But it also says, "His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Listen, if you don't learn one verse, if you do learn only one verse, this would be one to learn. Because on your notes there, God's love, it says here, endures forever. I need to keep going back to that because I don't feel that every day. I don't feel that every week. In fact, probably months go by without me thinking about the fact that His love for me endures forever. This highlights His heart of mercy, His heart of grace, His heart of compassion toward me. Even when I'm going through the toughest stuff that involves jobs and death, and hurt, and heartache, and disappointment, and failure, and do I need to go on? You ever think about the year you just had? The year you just had a number of different, really good ones too, but the ones we really are going to remember are these other ones that just stay with us for the rest of our lives. And what you heard this morning are of those quality. Notice here also that we have God's heart of love exposed to us. He uniquely exposed it to us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that Jesus would even come for us, and the role that He played in my salvation, which is my total salvation because of Him. Third thing that you need to see here is this, His faithfulness. His faithfulness, says, continues for all generations. You know what that means? It means this, that God will not change. It means that God will never break His promises. It means that God will never change His purpose. And it means this, that God will never change the rules, so that when you and I pass from this earth, what could be minutes from now or years from now, and you stand before him, he won't go like this. You didn't get the update, did you? I updated the I updated the rules, and we're no longer doing salvation on that basis. We're doing it on this. What? Reality is God doesn't change. What he stated is true is true. It's true now. It'll be true then. It'll be true forever. God's love, God's faithfulness, and another opportunity for us to share about God's love in our life and God's faithfulness in our life. Again, you got something to share to challenge each other with this morning? Do you have something you want to say? Here's your shot to say it. In front of our church, not our church body, our church family, which those visiting pastors picked up on, the family that's here, that we are here. Would you like to share something with each other that would be meaningful right now about God's love and God's faithfulness in your life practically? Go ahead, we'll stand. Tyler's ready to track you down with the microphone. So, anybody want to share? I've got time. Kathy? Good, Tyler.
In every valley, God has been there. And then I have the joy of having you.
Amen. Amen. The joy of having you. You don't realize when somebody's hurting how much you mean to somebody like that. You would think it's not a big deal, but they notice and they feel it, and it's what they hang on to. Again, that family that I said. Especially when you don't feel like you've got a family. You got it, Kathy. Well said. Anybody else want to share? Okay, over here. If you can get to people. Thank you very much. Heather?
We just arrived on Tuesday evening. And yesterday, we went round to one of our members of the little Christian group that we have on a Sunday evening. He had been very ill last year and really didn't want to come over. And we were very sorry because he'd been so faithful in that group. Anyway, we went over there and he genuinely seemed pleased for us to be there, and we told him what we were hoping to maybe cover this year, and I believe that he would like to come again.
That's great.
Yes.
Thank you. And it is great to have you guys back. Really good. Somebody else want to share? Okay, Bruce. You're not right there, buddy.
Since the microphone is so close, I give enormous thanks every day for the amount of sight I still have. And I thank God enormously that I can see what I can see. And that's a huge blessing. So thank you, Lord.
Bruce, very much. Keep Bruce in prayer about his sight. But that's a tremendous word, as God is going to use this dynamically for his glory. Anybody else want to share? Okay. I've got the microphone. Where Aunt had her hand up. Okay. Thank you. Be my spotter.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I came to Christ at a very young age, but went through periods of bad decision-making and stepping away from God. And through all that, he was always faithful to stick with me, even when I didn't stick with him.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. And speaking as your family, we see that in you. It's obvious where he's taking you. So that's a praise, Lord. Karen, here we go.
For probably most of my life, I have struggled with depression. And God has been very faithful. He's given me an incredible husband to deal with all of this. And I'm very thankful for this church family as well. Thank you.
Amen. Karen, you've done great ministering to people too. So you're very important to a lot of folks. Anybody else want to share before I turn this microphone off? Okay, Florence. Here you go.
I'm going to share for Ed because he was in a really bad accident June 30th, and God saved his life because he collided with two very large objects in his path, and God saved him. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for everyone's prayers for the both of us and all the blessings for my family through all the hard times.
Amen. Thank you.
Alrighty, listen up very carefully. The fact of the matter is, if each of us could go around and was going to share, we'd all have something to share. And sometimes we've got things to share that we just can't bear to share because it's just too hurtful or too deep or too whatever. And I understand that. But the reality is, you think of those things in your mind as I'm talking like this, there's only one response. And that is worship and praise of God. And there is one song throughout Christian history that I think has encapsulated that. And I'd ask you to stand right now, and would you sing and sing from your heart?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
I wanted you to notice two other things on your outline, but I'm going to buzz through these, but I want you to have these. The second point in there talks about the fact from this psalm, I want you to notice the aspect of shouting. I want you to notice the aspect of cheering. I want you to notice the aspect of we talk loud about our Lord and declare what He has done. We do that by our mouth, and I think we do that by our lifestyle, so that others can see that we are a thankful person before the Lord. We show that. And I'm breezing through this so that you can just have the point that we have that privilege and honor to do it here and to do that out there. And then on your notes also, notice there's an inner layer of thankfulness. And I didn't want you to leave without seeing this. Look at verse 3 from the Scripture, Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I want you to see what goes on that I need to know in my innermost being. The first one is that the Lord is God. He is not a God. He is the God. He is the only God. Wow. Of all the other gods that people say exist, this is the one true and living God, the God and creator of the universe. And it is this being in the universe that has chosen to have a relationship with me. The blowaway concept from the Scripture. I don't understand why, because I look at me in the mirror. I'm not even going to open that door and let you make comment. But when I look at myself in the mirror, I think, yeah. Sorry. That's what I think. And on a scale of a holy God of the universe that would want to have a relationship with puny little human existence, Mike, is just hard to believe. Look at the second thing here. The Lord is my creator. Several things you need to observe about the Lord being your creator, and that's this. The creation should always honor its creator. The creation exists for the creator's purpose and pleasure and glory. The creation exists for the creator's use. Our God is our origin. He's our sustainer. He is the source of all things. And more than anything else right here, this Lord is my creator. My creator. And the third thing I wanted you to see here real quick is this. And I said it this way. The Lord is my owner. The picture here is me as being one of His sheep. The God of the universe has chosen to make me and to own me. And as the owner of me, He's chosen to and provided the Spirit to live within me and to guide me. And as His, He takes care of me just like that sheep for every provision and care and need for this world and for the next. And even when I go without because He's my owner and He's decided that that's what's best for me. And He plans for me, and He plots for me, and He wants to use me, all to glorify Himself through me. God is my exclusive owner. And as a result of thinking like this, I am permeated with thanksgiving. Not just in that inner core, but in the layers that make up me. I am a thankful person. I am a praiseful person. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me now and maybe answer some tough questions. Would you do that? Would you bow your head? Would you think this way with me? As you look at your life this morning and the many layers to it, the things that you do, the things that you are, Would you say overall that you're one who would be considered thankful to your God? Listen, all through the season from now until Christmas, you're going to hear somebody say over and over again, you just need to be grateful. You just need to be thankful. But they never say to who? Well, the reality is, I'm thankful to God. That's who I'm thankful for, the originator and giver of all things. So let me ask you this. Is your spiritual walk with Christ been one in which you realize over and over again all that God has done for you, all that God is doing for you, and all that He's going to do for you in the future? And you know what? As you leave here this morning in a few minutes, do others readily observe your lifestyle of thankfulness? Do they see outwardly that you're permeated with thankfulness to God? Can they hear it when you shout it? Can they hear it when you live it? Listen, if that's not you, maybe this morning before you leave here, you've got to adjust some things so that that becomes you as you seek to live your life out for Jesus Christ. Our Father, I do thank you for Candlewood. I thank you for what you're doing here in the lives and hearts of these folks who love you. But Father, I pray more than anything else that those who observe us would notice that we are a thankful group of people. And not just thankful or grateful, but thankful and grateful to you, naming you as the source and originator of all things, our God, our owner, who's always good all the time. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to do a little transition for just a minute here. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward who are going to serve the elements. Listen very carefully. When the ushers come to serve the elements, they are serving both elements at the same time. That means this. You can help them out by handing them a tray if need be, but that means at your table, each of you within the next couple of minutes will get the bread and the cup together. Just put them in front of you together. And we wanted to do that because we didn't want to take a break between the two. So as you're doing that, we're going to sing, correct? Okay, I know that. And so we're going to sing. I ask you to worship and continue to sing with us. But these elements are going to be passed out to you both at the same time. Make sure you get a bread and make sure you get a cup. Thank you. Let's worship together. Paul records in the scripture for us when he talks about the communion time, resetting it and getting it right with the Corinthian church. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, the symbol of his body. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, new agreement in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Listen carefully. The first element's the bread. And the most, I think, in the courts of heaven right now, this minute, the fact that each of us is praising and thanking God for the sacrifice of the broken body of Jesus Christ is absolutely dynamic. So would you bow your head right now? Hold that piece of bread, if you would. It is a remembrance of the broken body of Christ. And would you right now in your heart of hearts thank the sovereign God of the heavens for the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ? Would you thank Him right now for that? Take that piece of bread and eat it together in remembrance of the death of Jesus Christ. In the same manner at the supper, Jesus passed the cup, which was to be the cup of wine, the cup in our case of juice, that is a remembrance of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that paid for our sin to the Holy God of the universe. Would you right now get a hold of your cup, remembering the blood of Jesus Christ, which we flippantly talk about, but the blood had the life of Jesus in him, and he put this blood out for us. He shed it for us, therefore paying for all of our sin forever. Would you right now bow your head? And again, in the courts of heaven hearing this, which they are, which Jesus is, which God is, would you pray and thank the God of the universe for the blood of Jesus Christ, which made payment for your sin? Would you praise him and thank him for that right now? Take that cup and drink it in memory of the death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Scripture goes on with the instruction and says that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And if you haven't figured out why you haven't passed from this earth yet, it's because you're not done your part of the mission, which is proclaiming Jesus Christ until he comes, or until he takes you home to be with him. Let me pray a blessing over us, and then we're going to stand and be dismissed. Our Father and our God, I do thank you for what you continue to do in our hearts and our lives, and for the fact that you've left us here with a certain amount of time to be about this one mission. And Father, I pray as we go from here, might people see our communion with Jesus Christ. Might people hear our thankful hearts that truly exist to the God of the universe. Might people see the difference in us as we share him by word and by deed with this world that is dying without you. Father, I commit this body to you. Use Candlewood as you see fit to glorify yourself. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God's people said, amen, because it's true.